The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars, topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
All right, and welcome to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network, and as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it is Wednesday. We finally got game three today. Okay, it's been ridiculous how we've had to wait so long between games, but nonetheless, here we are. All right, game two was on Sunday. They literally made us wait Monday and Tuesday for game three, but nonetheless, we did it. All right, so let me tell you what's going on today. Obviously, we don't have a game to recap as we usually do, so we're going to be talking about tonight's game three, getting my thoughts on what Cleveland needs to do there. Okay, second segment, we got DeMarcus Cousins. No news, just some thoughts. Going to be talking about him as far as being a free agent and all. Talk about what market's out there. Talk about the teams that he could end up with. Okay. Third segment. Speaking of free agency, it's never too early to talk about LeBron. All right. You got Stephen A. Smith coming out today on First Take, talking about how LeBron probably will be taking meetings with the Celtics and Golden State Warriors. I'm going to give my thoughts on that. Could LeBron finally end up in Boston? Could he just join the enemy in Golden State? Possibly. All right, so we'll talk about that, talk about the fits and all, see if it works. I mean, honestly, it's weird seeing that LeBron would be taking meetings with teams like the Celtics or the Warriors. Just, you never, I don't know, before you just never really saw the best players in the world taking meetings with the best teams, but nonetheless, it could happen, okay? That's the NBA we're currently living in right now, so can't get mad at it. And then for the fourth segment, we'll talk about anything else going on in the world of basketball. All right, whether that be any more Brian Colangelo news, whether it be anything else. So that's what's going on. So let's get into it. Game three going on tonight. All right. Right now, Warriors are up 2-0. I don't think anyone's really surprised. All right. I mean, the series has gone exactly how I figured we all thought it would. Okay, I understand that Cleveland had a great chance in game one to pull off a win. That didn't happen, and I mean, if Cleveland was to take a game in Oakland against the Warriors, it'd be that game. Obviously, we're past that now. We're not going to talk about the fact that J.R. Smith just seemingly didn't know the end of the situation and all that, but nonetheless, it is what it is. Okay. But like I said, I mean, in reality, whether it was close or not, we all figured the Warriors would be up 2-0 after two games. So nothing's really changed here. Nothing is too difficult to figure out. There's nothing real complex about this series, okay? We are where we thought we would be. All right. And now it's just a point. Can Cleveland take games three and games four? Okay. Because I will say this, if Cleveland has any shot to make this series go at least six games, then they have to win both these home games here. Okay. It doesn't matter that they win game three, lose game four, lose game three, win game four. They need to win both, right? There's no if, and, or but about it, all right? I don't see a way where Cleveland ends up taking game five. That's just completely out of the realm of possibilities for me. And honestly, I'm not even sure how they take games three or games four, Okay. Cleveland, so far this postseason, their theme has been inconsistency. Not among LeBron James, but among everyone else. Okay. And I feel that we've seen this consistency move over into the finals. Okay. LeBron has done his thing, dropped 51, 8, and 8 in game one, had a near triple-double in game two. Okay, you've had Kevin Love, who's averaged about 20 and 10 in the first two games. And idealistically, that's what you want if you're Cleveland. Okay, but the problem is that you want your other players to show up also. And that has been a problem for them. It is ridiculous how they're only really guaranteed production from one player. I guess this series it's been from two. But after that, you really don't have anyone else who's playing well. Okay. Jeff Green had one good game, a game seven against Boston. First two games of the finals, does not show up. Okay. George Hill puts up, what, 12 points in game one? That's not great, but it was a contribution. Game two, he drops seven. Larry Nance plays well, game one. Game two, nowhere to be found. Tristan Thompson has been pretty bad these first two games. And then you got Jordan Clarkson, who seemingly has forgotten how to make a shot. And then Rodney Hood has just completely lost all confidence in himself. So obviously, it hasn't been a great postseason run for this team. It's been a great postseason run for LeBron James, but for the team as a whole, been about as bad as you could be. Okay? Obviously, that is not a recipe for success when they only have two players stepping up. And I don't think I've ever really seen a team like this where they've been so bad over the current run of a postseason. Okay? But that's what they need. They need one of those guys to step up. And honestly, I think I think Kevin Love and LeBron are going to play well today. Okay. And obviously the Cavs need a third person to step up in order for them to have a shot. And as odd as it may sound, I think that person is Rodney Hood. Okay. He's been a story for the Cavs over the postseason. Refused to come in during garbage time in one game. And since then, hasn't really played much. And if he has, it's only been garbage time. All right. We all know for a fact that Rodney Hood has been dealing with some confidence issues. He's come out and said it. He's talked about how he's had to watch Jazz highlights, old Jazz highlights, to remind himself that he's good, which is just honestly entirely weird to me. I mean, how are you in the NBA and you don't realize that you're good? All right. But nonetheless, it seems that Ty Lue, he's came out and he said that Rodney Hood's going to get a lot more playing time, well, more playing time in game three. And it's not just going to be garbage time minutes. If I'm Ty Lue, why not just throw him into the starting lineup? Okay, what good is having J.R. Smith there? J.R. Smith has been terrible so far in these first two games. And if you look at other replacements, Jordan Clarkson, yeah, he's been just as bad as J.R. Smith, if not worse. Kyle Korver, he has not done one thing so far in this series. All right. Why not give Rodney Hood a shot there? I mean, literally, what can you lose here? No one's expecting the Cavs to come out and come back in this series. Everyone pretty much thinks it's over, which I'd say it is. Okay. And I mean, Cleveland could come out and win tonight. It's not going to matter, I'm telling you. These games won't matter unless it's Cleveland winning both of them. Okay. And I just don't see how that happens. Well, I can't see how it happens. I just don't have enough faith in the team itself to make it happen. All right. And you got to think, too, that with all these guys playing as poorly as they have been, is it just because they're too intimidated to play with LeBron? I mean, looking at the guys who got traded there. Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Rodney Hood, George Hill. Okay. George Hill last season was playing with the Jazz, was a very important part of that team's offense, and had a very good season. He goes to Sacramento, he plays well. all right, and ends up getting traded to Cleveland. Since he comes to Cleveland, he's really just been a shell of himself. All right, seemingly a bit timid, not really taking charge or anything like that as far as trying to get the ball and all and trying to score. All right. Jordan Clarkson was a decent scorer on the Lakers. Okay, never really struggled too much or anything like that. Had a role, did it well. Okay. He comes to Cleveland. He's just pretty much useless on the offensive side of the ball. All right, Larry Nance. His game never really changed. He's just not as productive with the Cavs. All right. And then you got Rodney Hood, who did well coming off the bench for the Jazz, was playing extremely well. Now all of a sudden, that's a problem. Okay, and it's not like as soon as Rodney Hood came to the Cavs, he went straight to the bench. There's a reason why he's on the bench. He just never really played well when he was out there. Okay, and I think one of the Cavs' biggest problems was trying to make Rodney Hood a starter when we've all known that he hasn't been. Okay, Rodney Hood is kind of like a Jamal Crawford type player where in the starting five, they're not going to be as effective as you'd want them to be. Off the bench, they're going to be one of your best players. Okay. That's why we've seen Jamal Crawford last so long in this league. He knows his role, and he's done well to take part in it. Rodney Hood needs to realize that, you know what, I might just be a career bench guy, but coming off, if I'm good off the bench and I'm like a sixth man of the year type player every year, then that's a solid NBA career. Okay? But like I said, all these guys that came to this team have seemingly got worse. And I think it might just be one where it is some intimidation as far as going to play with LeBron James. Because, I mean, over in Utah, no one was really expecting the Jazz to do too much. Maybe make the playoffs, but that's just about it. Okay? Over in Sacramento, I mean, that place is a wasteland. And then with the Lakers, you're just pretty much just trying to develop for the future. There's no real goal there besides developing. Okay, you go from those situations over to Cleveland where you're playing with the best player in the world. And not only that, your main goal is to go out and win a title, and anything other than that is a failure. That's a lot of pressure on some guys who were in nowhere near those situations with the teams they were with. Okay. And of course, I'm sure that maybe LeBron's thinking, you know, probably shouldn't have traded all those guys away at the deadline. But nonetheless, here they are. And like I said, I mean, in order for the Cavs to win tonight, you're going to need LeBron to draw probably at least 40-plus and have a near triple-double. Kevin Love's got to give him his usual 20 and 10. And then you need some other player, a third player, to step up and at least produce, give you at least 15. Okay? Of course, you're going to need some breaks along the way, but it's going to be tough. I will say that. I mean, that goes without saying also, I guess. Okay. So it'll be very interesting to see what Cleveland ends up doing here. All right. Like I said, there's no win one, lose one, and then try and win game five. You got to win both here. Okay. And if they win both, I mean, who's to say they can't win game six in Cleveland and force a game seven? So we'll see what ends up happening. But nonetheless, I'm going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about DeMarcus Cousins. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. Like I said, we have no game to recap today. So, we spent the first segment previewing Game 3, obviously. But, nonetheless, yeah, Cleveland, in order for them to take game three tonight, they're going to need some production out of someone not named Kevin Love or LeBron James. Okay? And as easy as that sounds, I mean, it should be. It's been tough. Okay, there's been no real consistency with this squad as far as the guys other than Kevin Love and LeBron James so far. And honestly, I don't know how they're going to get production from someone else. I mean, there's this whole thing where, I mean, role players play well at home. But I don't even know if I trust these guys enough to do that. Okay? So we'll see what ends up happening. But like I said, if Cleveland has any chance at whatsoever at taking this game, they're going to need someone other than LeBron or Kevin Love to step up. And seemingly enough, throughout this postseason, that hasn't been the case at all. Okay, this team has been so bad, it's ridiculous. All right, but nonetheless, enough about the finals there for a sec. Let's talk about free agency. Okay, we got a lot of good free agents this upcoming offseason. Paul George, LeBron James, who we'll be talking about in the third segment. All right, who else? DeAndre Jordan could be one. Maybe Melo, if he's crazy enough to opt out of the deal he's got right now. But nonetheless, yeah, a lot of good free agents. Also, 27-year-old DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a free agent. All right? And DeMarcus Cousins is, before he got hurt, was a top five center, if not the best center in the league. Okay? I've always said it that if DeMarcus Cousins played on a better team, besides the Kings and like a team who made the playoffs and stuff, he'd probably already have an MVP. Okay? He's had some years where he probably should have won MVP, but was never even in consideration just given that the Kings were so bad. Okay? And people always point at DeMarcus Cousins and say that it's his fault why his teams are so bad. He doesn't make anyone good around anyone around him better. But, I mean, that's tough when the team you're playing for doesn't put any real talent around you. Okay, it's tough when the team you're playing on passes on guys like Kawhi Leonard in order to take guys like Jimmer Fredette. All right, it really is. I mean, it was failed draft pick after failed draft pick after failed draft pick when DeMarcus Cousins was at his peak with the Kings. I'm surprised they even did so well in the DeMarcus Cousins pick. Okay, but without a doubt, the Kings never really put enough around him for him to succeed at all. They had no talent. Okay? Everyone that did play well with DeMarcus Cousins, too, they got rid of. Like Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas and DeMarcus Cousins left playing with each other. What did the Kings do? Oh, yeah, we don't want to pay Isaiah Thomas give Isaiah Thomas a four-year, $30 million contract total. Let's get rid of him. Which is just ridiculous to me. But nonetheless, yeah, I can't blame DeMarcus Cousins for that. All right, so he's never really been on a winning team. I mean, over his career, I think he's averaged about 21.5 points. Let me see. Over his career, he's averaged 21.5 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. This year, before he blew out his Achilles, he was averaging 25, 13, and 5.5, which is pretty good, I'd say so. All right, we're shooting 47% from the field, 35% from three, which was a career high. All right. Actually, it was above his career average, I should say. I wouldn't say it was a career high. His career high as far as three-point percentage came in 2016-2017, that season where he shot 37% from the field. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, this year he was averaging 25. The year before that, he was averaging 24. And then the 2 years before that, his last 2 years in Sacramento, he was averaging 27. All right, nearly 28. So, DeMarcus Cousins has always been a great player. I mean, you usually think he's a max player, but nonetheless, I mean, is he going to be getting a max contract this year? I'd say so. Okay, some team is going to offer him the max, but it's not going to be a very good team. All right, I saw that teams like, obviously the Pelicans are interested in DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, teams like the Lakers, and the Mavs. All right, that's not like his full free agent, like the full free agent suitors or anything like that. But nonetheless, there is some interest in DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, and the guy's 27. He's 27 years old, probably right in the middle of his prime. But the only problem with him is that he's 7 foot and he's coming off of an Achilles injury. Okay. And I feel like if I'm DeMarcus Cousins, I do want to play with a contender, but I also do want to make one more big money contract. So it's going to be a bit tough for him to make a decision. Okay, because he is basically just betting on himself this season. If he takes a deal, a short-term deal with a contender. Okay. Because, I mean, there's the possibility that he does take a short-term deal with a contender. And he does play well, which earns him a long-term deal. But like I said, there's not really been too many players to come back from Achilles injuries and play at the same level they were at. I mean, we saw Kobe blew out his Achilles. And ever since then, he just really was a shell of himself and eventually just had to retire. Okay. I'm not sure how we could expect DeMarcus Cousins, as great as he's been over his career, to come back from an Achilles injury like that at 27, being 7 feet tall, and to be the same dominant player. Especially given that now you need these bigs to be a whole lot more athletic than what they used to be. Meaning, they got to go out to the three-point line and guard there. They got to be good with their footwork and all. Okay. DeMarcus Cousins, for as big as he is, moves very athletically. All right. So it's going to be tough for him to be as agile coming off of that injury. All right. But like I said, I mean, I do see a team like Dallas offering him a max deal, and it's just a matter of whether or not he wants to bet on himself or whether or not he wants to make this last amount of money. All right. And obviously, we had Isaiah Thomas asked about whether or not he'd like to play with DeMarcus Cousins again. He said of course he would and all that, but I mean, Isaiah Thomas, I don't really think he's too worried about playing with DeMarcus Cousins this offseason. Okay. Isaiah Thomas, like I said, also a guy from the Kings who seemingly probably should still be there, but the Kings were just not smart enough to lock him up long term for at a cheap rate also. All right, but nonetheless, he goes from the Kings to the Suns. Doesn't work out there. I mean, before he got to Boston, it was a 20-point-per-game score. All right. But just essentially was just never given a real chance. Then you got him going to Boston, where he pretty much took that city by storm. Had one of the greatest all-time offensive scoring seasons in Celtics history, which is pretty impressive considering the fact they've had guys like John Havlicek, Larry Bird, Paul Pierce, all that play for them. All right, so a year again, like, so it's over his career, he's averaged 18.9 points per game, so about 19 points, so near 20. All right, and like I said, that season with Boston, he averaged about 29 points. Let's see, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, shot 38% from 3, 46% from the field. So that was probably the best season he's ever had. I'd say so. And since then, really just hasn't played well. All right. And it's just a point now where his value after that season with the Celtics was about as high as it would ever be. And now it's just a point where you're not even sure if he's going to be making a salary, average salary, like in the double digits as far as the millions go. Okay. His hip injury was definitely the worst thing that could have happened to him. I mean, this past season was the worst thing that could have happened to him, especially in a contract year. I mean, getting traded to Cleveland for Kyrie Irving and all, that's fine. All right, you're dealing with a hip injury. You come back in January. You're not looking good. Okay, you're not really fitting in with the team. They say, you know what, forget it. We'll just trade you over to the Lakers, and then you're coming off the bench for them. And it's not even like they necessarily want you back. That's tough. Okay. And I'm very curious to see who views Isaiah Thomas as a starting point guard out there. I mean, I could see him end up with a team like the Pacers. I could see him end up with a team like the Magic who need a point guard. I mean, there's going to be plenty of suitors out there. It's just what role they have for him. And if you're Isaiah Thomas, I mean, is playing for a contender even a thought of yours? Okay, I figure that if you're Isaiah Thomas, you're going to the team that offers you the most money, as you probably should. Okay, because like I said, this is going to be Isaiah Thomas's last opportunity to get a decent size contract, and even then, so I think decent size is a bit of an over exaggeration for what he's probably going to get. Okay. But like I said, I mean, there are going to be some suitors out there. Like I said, there will be guys offering DeMarcus Cousins a max deal. There probably will be guys out there offering Isaiah Thomas a decent amount of money. Okay, it's just a matter of who's willing to do that. All right. So we'll see what ends up happening with these two players. DeMarcus Cousins, I'm sure, will be fine as far as the amount of money he'll be making this year. As far as being a player, getting back to what he used to be, that's going to be tough. All right. I don't really see that happening, but like I said, crazy things have happened before, so we'll see what ends up going down. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about LeBron James and him in free agency, so stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We spent the first segment talking about Cleveland's Game 3 versus Golden State tonight. Alright, finally got ourselves a game after two long days of waiting. NBA better not do that again, or actually I think they are. Alright, if Cleveland ends up taking one of these games, that means we have to wait till Friday night, till Monday, to watch another game, which is just ridiculous. Alright, but of course I'm only joking around. We also talked about DeMarcus Cousins in the second segment, talked about his little free agency status and all that. So we did that there, and now we're going to talk about another player's free agency status, and that's LeBron James. All right. Yes, he is still playing in the finals, so it's a little premature, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter. All right. We got Stephen A. Smith out here today. He's came out and said that the Warriors will be a suitor for LeBron James. Okay. Says that they have an idea of him playing along with KD and Steph Curry. That sounds disgusting. Okay, that is way too good there. That is not good for anyone besides the Warriors and their fans. Alright, and he's also said that the Celtics could be a suitor for LeBron James. And I've been seeing the Celtics name pop up like the last week or so. I never really knew from where. But nonetheless, now that you got Stephen A. Smith, I guess confirming it, I guess that makes it true, but it's a little weird. All right. You never really thought that the Celtics, given the way they've tried to build their team, would be suitors for LeBron James, but here we are. And of course, I mean, even if you are the Celtics or Warriors, I'm sure they think, you know what, we're fine with what we got here. But it's always good to take a meeting, isn't it? I mean, what if the best player in the world does want to come play for you? Okay. Why wouldn't you take that chance? But of course, I mean, this is what LeBron's going to be deciding between Philly, Cleveland, Houston, LA, Golden State, and the Celtics. And then I guess you got Miami, who he could take a meeting with also. That's seven teams right there. Okay. Two of them were the 1 and 2 seeds in the West. Two others were top three in the East. Another is his home, is his team he's played for a while. Then you got the Lakers, who have always been linked to him. All right. And then the Heat, where he used to play. So it's all pretty familiar there. All right. But as far as, let's talk about LeBron and the Warriors. Okay. Why would that make sense? Why it wouldn't and whatnot? So I think that the only way you get to put LeBron on that team is if you get rid of Klay and Draymond. Okay? Because obviously their plan would be to keep... It would be to keep KD and Steph there so LeBron could play with them. Okay? Let's see. Let me see what Draymond is currently making. Because I think Draymond's currently on a deal right now. Yeah, so Draymond is on a five-year deal right now. That expires in 2020. He's currently making about $16 million a year, 82 of it's guaranteed. You got Steph locked up until 2022. Klay's deal expires after next season. And KD's deal expires this year, but he's already said he's going to sign a deal. A team deal. All right. So, I mean, getting rid of Klay and Draymond allows you to bring in LeBron. Because obviously, if you're bringing in LeBron, you're going to have to bring him on a max deal. Maybe a sign and trade could possibly work there. But just imagine the dominance of a LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry-led team. You'd literally have three top five players on one team. And you'd have the best player and the second best player in the league on the same team. That does not sound fun at all. Okay. Like, at all. That's just continued dominance right there. Okay. You'd have LeBron and that Warriors team going to the finals year after year. And I mean, who beats them? Okay. Honestly. Who beats that Warriors team? Is it Houston? Definitely not. Okay. Boston's probably got the team close enough to beating them. I don't even think that happens. Okay. Then you got Philly. Philly doesn't stand a chance against LeBron, KD, and Steph. And me personally, I don't think that LeBron is going to end up in Golden State. But of course, it is a fun thing to talk about and think about. But nonetheless, would that ruin the NBA? If you've just got the same team winning year after year? I don't think so. All right. And honestly, if LeBron were to go to Golden State, they win a bunch of titles. I think that would solidify LeBron as far as being one of the greatest players of all time. If not the gays, the greatest player of all time. Okay. I understand that people would say, oh, well, he went to go join this team or whatnot. No one really, like, people don't realize the stuff they talk about with players now, no one's going to talk about going forward. No one's going to bring up LeBron's finals record when he retires. Okay? No one's going to bring up who LeBron was playing with when he retires. You're just going to talk about the fact that LeBron, when it's all said and done, could end up just being the all-time point scorer. Could be up there as far as all-time assists. He's already got three titles, handful of MVPs, bunch of finals MVPs. All right? No one's going to talk about the losses or whatnot because no one does that with any other player. We don't talk about Jordan losing a handful of times in the playoffs before he won his first title. Okay? We don't ever talk about Magic losing to the Celtics or the Celtics losing to Magic. Okay? We don't talk about Kobe getting swept by the Dallas Mavericks in the first round of the playoffs. We only talk about what they've done and what they won. All right. So no one, if, like, let's say LeBron did go to Golden State, no one's going to talk about him. Okay. No one's going to talk about him going to one of the best teams in the world. All right. That's just not going to happen. As much as you think it will, it won't, because it never has. Okay. But nonetheless, I mean, if you were to go to the Warriors, that's a whole lot of money to be made, and that's a whole lot of winning to be done. All right? And he would have to win every year there, or else it'd be a huge failure. But I mean, like I said, I don't think it's going to happen, but it is a possibility if you got Stephen A. Smith reporting that the Warriors will be suitors for him. They are going to try and get him. Okay? So we'll see what ends up happening there. But nonetheless, you also got that team in Boston, I guess, who are suitors for LeBron James. Like I said, I've seen this rumor over Twitter a few times over the last week. I never understood the rumor. I didn't really hear it anywhere else. Okay. But nonetheless, it is a rumor that I guess Stephen A. Smith confirmed, unless he's the one who started it. Okay. And LeBron in Boston wouldn't really make too much sense. I mean, you would have to do a sign-and-trade with him, and then you'd probably have to get rid of either Hayward or Horford. Obviously, the Celtics aren't going to be getting rid of Hayward this season, or the near future, I would say. I don't even know how we got to the point where Hayward is expendable now. And I really think that people forgot about Gordon Hayward, honestly, with Jason Tatum. I've already seen people saying that Tatum is already better than Hayward. I'm not going to go as far to say that. Okay, Jason Tatum, as well as he did play, I'd like to see him do it for another year. Okay, but nonetheless, yeah, it seems like everyone forgot about the kind of player that Gordon Hayward is. Okay. But yeah, I mean, in order for the Celtics to end up with a guy like LeBron, you'd have to trade Horford. Okay, and that leaves up a hole in as far as the five spot on your team. And even then, so, I mean, isn't this what Kyrie basically left Cleveland for? To get away from him? Alright? I just don't see this, how this makes sense for Boston to do. It just pretty much goes against everything they've done so far. Okay? And I just don't see it happening whatsoever. I mean, why would Kyrie leave Cleveland, come to Boston, be the guy, and then want to stay there after this season? When it's the same problem again. Alright, and even with Boston, I don't think they really need to mess with what they got going on here. You got two guys under max deals in Horford and Hayward. You could pay Kyrie once his contract is ready to be, once he's ready for an extension. And then you still got some team-controlled years in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Why would you mess with that? Plus, you got a very solid bench. It makes no sense to me whatsoever for them to bring on LeBron. But of course, I mean, if they were to bring on LeBron, that instantly puts them up as far as being championship contenders. And I think even with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, they're still championship contenders, wouldn't you say? Obviously, the Philly is the fun team to talk about. But nonetheless, I mean, Boston is going to be up there eventually. All right. But of course, I mean, if LeBron were to go to Boston, that would be probably one of the odder things ever in the NBA. I guess it'd be kind of like Magic going to Boston, because over LeBron's career, I know the rivalry right now is between him and Golden State, but over his career, it's always been him versus Boston. That's always been the one team that he's had the most trouble with. So, I mean, that'd be like just joining your biggest rival there would be just ridiculous. It'd be weird. All right, but it is a possibility. I mean, we did see a guy go from losing in the Western Conference Finals to a team after being up 3-1 to just joining that team after. All right, not naming names, but Kevin Durant, you know. And I mean, like, going back to the whole LeBron joining Golden State, no one even talks about KD joining Golden State anymore. No one's even mad at that anymore, I don't think. And if they are, no one cares enough to talk about it anymore. So it doesn't really matter. So that's kind of like with LeBron. If LeBron were to go to Golden State, then no one will talk about it after a few years. And if they were mad, they just keep to himself. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But like I said, just wanted to bring that up because Stephen A. Smith talked about it today on First Take. So there's that. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of basketball. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. So, here we are. It's the fourth segment. We don't really have any true Brian Colangelo updates, okay? I mean, I've been watching that story like a hawk, all right? I mean, there's never really been a story like it. But nonetheless, I think it seems as if Philly is acting as if Colangelo had no clue about the burner accounts, which is a nice little surprise. Because now, I guess we could talk as if, what do the Sixers do now? Since they assume that it's been reported that they assume that Colangelo had no idea about the accounts. Can you fire a man because his wife was defending her husband on Twitter? And also going at the franchise player on Twitter. And also going at the former GM and the new team president of the Raptors. Okay? Also, not only that, talked about the Markelle Fultz situation. Also talked about Jahlil Okafor failing a physical that we didn't know about in the public. Okay? Can you get rid of an employee because of his wife's actions? Or should I say their spouse's actions? Okay. I think that I don't know. I'm genuinely stuck on this one. If Colangelo really didn't know, then how can you get rid of him? Okay. I mean, he didn't know about the accounts. He didn't know that his spouse was giving out team-sensitive information and taking shots at players like that. I mean, this was 5 accounts. That takes a lot of dedication. Okay? It's not like she just had 1 Twitter account. She had 5 of them. All of them. Part of the Colangelo army. Okay? But seriously, can you get rid of a guy like that because of that? I don't know. I mean, the guy, I guess they're acting as if he had no knowledge of it. Okay? And it makes the team look unprofessional. I'm not sure how Joel Embiid feels about it. Okay? I'm sure Ben Simmons is fine with it because, I mean, those accounts were defending Ben Simmons. Not even defending him, just pointing at him as being the franchise player. Okay? I mean, it's not great for Markelle Fultz. All right? It's just not a good look. Not a good look at all. And I don't know. I think they're going to end up keeping him. Okay? It's decision time. I think we're going to find out a decision within the next day. Okay? I think we should know a decision by the time we record on Friday. I'm going to put my bet here. I'm going to say that he stays as Sixers manager. And I figured that there was no way you could bring him back after this. But now that I think about it more and more, I think he stays. Okay? But even then, so how do you keep him knowing that other players are going to look at a situation like this and be like, do I really want to play basketball here? All right? Because stuff like this doesn't happen with the top organizations in the league. You don't see Danny Ainge going out and tweeting at players. You don't see Greg Popovich doing or anything like that. Okay? So it is going to be very interesting, but nonetheless, I do think that this ends with them keeping him there. All right? And is it the right move? I'm not sure. I think it's the only move you could make, though. Okay? I really think it is the only move you can make. And you kind of feel for Brian Colangelo, because obviously none of this is concrete. I'm just talking as if he had no knowledge whatsoever. But imagine having to go through all this and you're not really sure like who's behind these accounts and all. And then you find out, yeah, it's your spouse. Like, that's not necessarily the best thing to find out, especially considering the fact that it could have costed you your job, which it still might. All right, again, we still don't know, but I mean, I guess you do got to keep him, but I'm not really sure how this affects his relationship with the players and all, or around people around the league, okay? And that's one thing the Sixers got to pay attention to, or at least look at as far as whether or not they want to keep him there. But again, it goes to the whole thing. I mean, the basis of this, can you fire a man for his spouse's actions? I think if it hurts the company, yeah, I think. Does this hurt the company? We don't know yet if it does. Okay, Sixers being the company. We don't know yet if this hurts the Sixers. And you can't, this isn't something where you can like definitively tell. Because you can only tell by free agents not wanting to go there. Or player relationships with the GM going bad. And maybe that's what Philly does there. They asked Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and Fultz, how do you feel if we keep Colangelo here? And we'll only do what you guys want us to do. I mean, that might just be something they have to do there. All right. But like I said, this is by far one of the most entertaining stories of the year in the NBA. One of the odder stories. I've had a great amount of fun paying attention to it. But now it's just a point where now we got to get to the bottom of it. All right. And I think we are. Like I said, probably within the next day, if I was the Sixers, I'd probably give that news today. The day, like maybe 5 minutes before the finals tip off. That way you just bury the story. Or maybe you do it Friday news dump. All right, you got game four going on. Couldn't be LeBron's last game in Cleveland. That's where you do it. That's where you announce whether or not what you're doing with Colangelo. All right. I mean, there's no way that Colangelo getting fired or staying would top the story of, is this LeBron's last home game in Cleveland? Or last game as a Cleveland Cavalier if they lose game three. Or if they, lose game three. All right. I mean, of course, there's a story, is this his last game, home game as a Cleveland Cavalier? So I guess it's the best of both worlds there. But that's what I would do if I was the Sixers. All right. I would definitely look into either dumping the news today before the game starts or either on Friday. Thursday, a bad idea because there's no game. There's a Stanley Cup, but even then, so I think this takes precedence over that. All right. So we'll see what they end up doing. But other than that, I mean, as far as other news in basketball, Jim Boeheim, Michigan head coach, deciding after talking with the Pistons that he'd rather coach Michigan. And why wouldn't you? Michigan's got a real solid team. Don't necessarily play in a tough conference or anything like that. You just made it to the national championship game. You did get blown out by Villanova, but I mean, who didn't in that tournament? All right. But it makes sense. I mean, why would you leave a good thing in Michigan? All right. You've made the national championship, what, twice since 2012, I think? 2015, actually? I'm not sure. When's the last time they played? Didn't they play Louisville in the national title game a while back? I think that was with Tim Hardaway Jr. So it might have been back in 2012. But nonetheless, you've been there in recent memory twice, at least within the last decade. That's tough to do. I don't think Duke has ever even done that. They might have. I don't know. Back when they were playing Butler and all. That year they played Butler. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't go to the Pistons. I wouldn't leave Michigan for the Pistons. He's got a good thing going there. All right, the school loves him. Fans love him. And, I mean, it's a tough job to do over there in Detroit as far as fixing the Pistons. There's not really too much. I mean, you got Drummond and Griffin, but you don't really have too many assets as far as acquiring other talent and trying to do that. You're probably going to be stuck with Reggie Jackson as your point guard, which I'm assuming no one wants there. So, I mean, I don't knock Jim Boeheim for not taking that job. Plus, I don't really trust college coaches going into the NBA. So, there's that. But like I said, we got the game going on tonight. Can Cleveland win? Yes, any team can win. Will Cleveland win? That remains to be seen. We got the Warriors, who are 4-point favorites on the road tonight. Okay, and I think last year was also a time where I think it was the Warriors who were favored in every matchup. And I think that's what we're going to have here. All right, I don't see a way where Cleveland is favored in any matchup going forward. All right, but nonetheless, I mean, Cleveland's got to win tonight. Cleveland doesn't win tonight. Series is over next Monday. Okay, at the most, it's going till next Monday. Series could be over on Friday, but I mean, there is always the possibility of Cleveland just stealing one game. But like I said, they don't win tonight. It's going to be tough for them to make it out of here. There's no way I see them coming back 3-0 down. All right. And I don't think any team has ever done that in the history of the NBA. So yeah, definitely. Tonight, must win, without a doubt. We'll see if they're able to do it. Like I said, LeBron's going to go out and at least put up a 40-plus point triple-double, like at least. Kevin Love has to be good, and they need a third player. No clue who that could be to come out and play well. All right. Will it happen? Now, that remains to be seen, but nonetheless, it's a possibility. Like I said, game's on at 6 p.m. tonight, Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Again, I would hate to live on the East Coast, just given the fact that you got to stay up late to watch sports. Me, I'm usually done with all my sports at the very latest by 10:30. All right. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Very much looking forward to tonight's game. We'll see if the Cleveland can pull it off. I'm not sure if they can. We will be back on Friday to recap it all. And we probably will have a Brian Colangelo answer at that time. Hopefully. But anyways, thanks for listening to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Like I said, I will be back on Friday. So stay tuned until then. And I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.